I'm Adar Svirza, and today I'm going to tell you about succinct non-interactive zero-knowledge for Neyman architecture. And all of this is joint work with Elie Bensasson, Alessandro Chiesa, and Aaron Tromer. And I want to start by a motivating example that there is a manager at a hospital, let's call her Alice, and she has a database, say a genetic database, and there is a researcher, let's call him Bob, and he has a program A and an input X. And the program A might be the one that does some genetic matching, and X might be some genome. And the researcher very much would like to know what happens if he evaluates his program on X and Alice's database DB. Well, one option is Alice could just send over the database to Bob. And it's unfortunately not even an option, because that wouldn't preserve the privacy of the persons whose genomes are in the database. So this doesn't work. Well, we can try the other way around. Bob could send the program and input to Alice, and then Alice could run it on her private database. And claim, well, I run it, and there is an output, that's Z. But then there is a question of verifiability. Bob has never seen the database. He doesn't know what's inside. How can he be convinced that Alice runs the program correctly? Well, this is a crypto session. So one approach to this is using a cryptographic proof. So Alice would generate a cryptographic proof, attach it to her output, and send it over. A proof of what statement? A proof of statements that there is a database such that output is correct, as Alice claims. Well, there is also technicality. This is not actually what Bob wants to do, as any database doesn't cut it. He wants Alice's database. Well, but Alice could just publish the hash beforehand or commitment, and then Bob would extend his program to check it. But this is just an example, and in general, it could be any program, any private input, not necessarily genetic one, and proof for existence of such private input that makes program accept. And typically, those two parties are called the prover and the verifier. And what are the properties we want from their interaction? Well, first of all, we want it to be a proof system, that true statements have proofs and false statements do not. We also want this to be zero knowledge, that proof doesn't leak anything more than just the fact that claimed output is the correct one. Another property we want is non-interactivity. We do not want the prover and verifier to interact many times. We want the proof to be just one string that verifier can send to anybody else to verify. We also want this to be succinct. Proofs are easy to verify and short, so that, for example, proof can be attached to a paper submission. And there is also a technical property I'm not going to talk about today, proof of knowledge, that Alex actually knows such witness, but yeah. Actually, another technicality is that you cannot achieve this with a proof system. You have to relax this to computational soundness, and then it's called argument. But if you take all of those properties together, you get something that's called zero knowledge, succinct non-interactive argument of knowledge. And this is different from the setting of outsourced verified computation, as necessarily the verifier doesn't know the private input of the prover. Various subsets of these properties have been looked at before. For example, non-interactive zero knowledge, or NISX, have achieved the highlighted ones. For this actually to be achievable, we require another party, a generator that does a trusted setup. So there's a generator, he works only once, and creates a common reference string consisting on for proving key and verification key. This needs to be done in a trusted way, but then the generator goes away. And after that, the prover and verifier use the respective keys. and they can do it many times. I want to change from pretty pictures to less so pretty notation for us to easier to follow this later. A natural question is, can SNARKs be achieved? Actually, the answer is yes. There is a beautiful line of theoretical work starting from 90s. And in recent years, we have even seen working prototype implementations of SNARKs. And not only working prototypes for certain specialized applications, SNARKs have even been practically feasible. For example, Zcash from this year's Oakland provides anonymity for Bitcoin. Essentially, it replaces every transaction by a zero-knowledge proof that says valid transaction occurred, but doesn't reveal anything about the transaction origin, destination, or amount. And Zcash uses a very tailored program that only has to check hashes and integer arithmetic. And it would be great to explore to what extent can we achieve SNARKs for generic computation. And for that, I want to tell you about program-specific SNARKs. This is a picture from previous where verifier sends program an input. And program-specific SNARK doesn't let verifier set choose a program. It gets hard-coded in generation time. And then proving and verification can be done with respect relative to that program changing the input. And actually, all prior implementations of SNARKs achieve program-specific implementations. And it is very inconvenient to have them, as a trusted setup must be repeated every time you want to change your program. And motivates a natural question that ideally we want a one-time trusted setup that works for any program. Generator goes away, trust is no longer needed, and you can prove things till the heat death of universe. And this is our goal for today. The goal is to achieve SNARKs with universal trusted setup. How are we going to go about this? Well, one approach would be, if you have to hard code a program, better be the universal one, say interpreter for Python. Well, one could do so, but that would totally tank your efficiency. So we do something else. And our result is that we achieve the above goal, SNARKs with universal trusted setup, with a caveat. And the caveat is that we don't need to know the program up front, we need to just know the bound of its running time. And the performance, if you take a T-step program, is roughly 50 T milliseconds proving time for the prover, and it needs 3 T megabytes of space. And we do it with two independent contributions. First, we create a universal circuit generator, and second, we create ZK-SNARK implementation for circuits. Both of them are significantly more efficient than prior work. I want to motivate the high-level picture, how those two components fit together, and why this is a good idea for achieving the universality. So we know that best theoretical constructions achieve SNARKs for NP-complete language of circuit satisfiability. So we go ahead and build a highly optimized SNARK for circuits. This is component two of our system. And it only takes circuits and motivates our first contribution, the universal circuit generator. The circuit generator will produce circuits that can verify any program. We stick it into generator of our SNARK, and then later, where verifier sends over a program and input, prover can prove the statement that universal circuit accepted this particular program. Okay. And this is our system. Let me tell you about the first component of it, the universal circuit generator. The circuit generator takes as input three bounds, a bound on program size L, input size N, and time bound T, and produces a circuit. And the circuit, in turn, takes as input the program, the input, the private input, the claimed output, and outputs a decision bit. And decision bit is one if and only if the program really outputs the correct the claimed value on the input. And the caveat is that the circuit only works as long as the computation is suitably bounded, as said before. You see that the circuit generator doesn't need to know anything about the program. It only needs to know the bounds, so it's universal. Moreover, we claim it's efficient, that asymptotically it's only quasi-linear in running time of the program. And concretely, you need about 2,000 gates per one step of computation amortized. If I'm claiming numbers like 2,000, I must fix some architecture to back this up. And for us, an architecture is expressive one. Those are computations in 32-bit RISC von Neumann machine. And it's even so expressive it can support self-modifying code and just-in-time compilation. Now I want to tell you on a very high level how our circuit generator works. It is based on the circuit generator from Crypto 2013, and it roughly works as follows. That it checks a trace of a computation, where trace is just time-sorted list of CPU states. And first, it checks that all arithmetic and logical instructions were executed correctly, meaning if you want to do addition, then registers get added together in the next trace line. And we build a small circuit that checks ALU instructions and apply it to each consecutive trace lines. I mentioned the word instruction before. How does the ALU checker know which instruction to actually check as program counter changes? Well, Crypto 2013 work just uses a multiplexer. You index into a hard-coded program to the point where program counter points and get the instruction out. You apply it for every trace line. You get all instructions as they go. Well, this works, but it's highly inefficient, meaning you pay for entire size of the program at every single computation step. Instead, what we do is we perform instruction fetch using non-deterministic routing techniques. We place program on the slides that would be on the right side, and then from each trace line, we trace a path to the instruction in the program. This routing network might look scary, but it has excellent asymptotics and excellent constants. That takes care of instruction fetch, and even the same routing network is the one that we are using to check memory. We just augment the program with the entire contents of memory, the entire address space, and then check read-write instructions using the same. So on a very high level, that's roughly how our circuit generator works. I want to compare it against prior work, and first, against the circuit generator of Crypto 2013. Here I have three graphs. The leftmost two ones are amortized costs per time step of the two circuit generators. The rightmost graph is just a ratio between amortized costs. And as you can see, I have highlighted various subcomponents, but the total seems to be roughly equal when the program size is small. You pay about the same. However, if you want to support larger programs, the sentiment like this, then the entire size of the circuit is dominated by instruction fetches. As in our work, we only pay a logarithmic cost. And actually, in fact, improvement of our circuit generator grows without bound. So that's a comparison with Crypto 2013. There's an alternative approach that's called program analysis. It has been extensively used in multi-party computation applications. And it roughly works like this, that you dissect program into subcomponents, say loops and branches, and for every single subcomponent, you go and emit the corresponding circuit. Say your program does comparison, you emit a comparison circuit. How to compare? First, it doesn't really compare because it's not universal. You must know program up front for there to be something to analyze. Well, maybe you're willing to surrender the goal of universality and just care about efficiency. And then efficiency turns out to vary from program to program, and essentially the only way to know what would a T-step program take as a circuit is to run the circuit generator itself. And we expect, and we find, that program analysis techniques are very efficient for circuit-like programs, like matrix multiplication, but less so for memory-intensive programs. So, I told you about our circuit generator, roughly how it works, how it compares, and I want to move on to our second contribution, which is SNARK implementation for circuits. And on a high level, we base our theoretical roots in protocol of Parnot et al. From Oakland 2013. And when we do our implementation at every level of the stack, starting from finite fields and elliptic curves, we make tailored choices in order to optimize efficiency. And what we get is that if you fix a circuit of a million gates and 1,000 bit input, then those are the times taken by generator, proven, and verifier. And roughly, we are five times more efficient as in the prover and two times more efficient in the verifier. Previous talk mentioned improvements over Pinocchio, so this works for any circuit and is not tailored to computation at hand. So we have released our SNARK implementation as an open source one. It's called LibSNARK. You can go and check it out on GitHub. And it has already had practical impact. I mentioned before the system called ZeroCache, and ZeroCache uses our SNARK library in a fundamental way that if you need to generate ZeroCache proofs, using LibSNARK, it takes about 3 minutes for one transaction. If you were willing to pay 5x blow-up in running time, you would roughly be at 15 minutes per transaction. But that would be well beyond the block creation interval for Bitcoin, which is set at 10 minutes. So using a different SNARK implementation wouldn't be possible for ZeroCache. I want to sum up. And first, what we achieve in our paper is universality. It is possible to create keys once and for all that any computation be verified in zero knowledge. If you don't want to pay for universality, you can use only our second component, LibSNARK, which is the fastest ZK SNARK for circuits. And we are actively looking for applications. So if you have any cool applications in mind, please come talk to us after the talk. Thank you.
We have time for questions.
Thomas Schneider, TU Darmstadt. You said when using circuits, you cannot have universality. Did you look at universal circuit constructions and compare with your approach?
So we didn't find, so it has been known in theoretical literature before that universal circuits are possible as all those computational models are reducible to each other. We looked at all constructions were indirect. You first go from RAM programs to, say, Turing machines, and you go from Turing machines to circuits, and therefore it would be inefficient if implemented like that. So this is what we found.
Okay, so you looked at specific applications that have small Turing programs and not at circuits, because the transition from circuits to universal circuits is reasonably efficient. It's only a logarithmic overhead in size.
So we didn't want to pay the two conversions, first from RAM machines to specific circuits and then from circuits to universal circuits.
Okay.
So we went for a direct construction.
Okay, thanks.
There are no more questions. Let's thank the speaker again.